Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Morena Alice.
Good morning.
Happy fake Monday post long weekend. How are you?
Do you know what? I cannot complain. And I always say this every week. And this week, I'm holding on to the fact that I just bought a Monstera like a fortnight ago. And it's already unfurled a leaf.
Are you a millennial or something?
I fucking killed my last plant. I was like, this metaphor is not working for me. But it's unfurled. So I'm sticking with it.
I'm very pleased for you. Now, we're not alone in the studio. Would you like to introduce our guest this morning, Alice?
We're not just here to talk about my failing personal life outside of FM. we are joined this morning by the national treasure. I'm saying that in jest, but also not in jest. Jacob Rajan from Indian Ink Theatre. Jacob, welcome to the show.
Morena, Jacob.
Jacob actually taught me when I was at drama school. That was
taught you everything you know.
I learned the craft from the best, and it was...
And look at you now.
And look at me with my fucking houseplants now, doing so well. So obviously Jacob isn't just here for us to reminisce about the old days, but because you have a new show opening this week.
Yeah, brand spanking.
Yes,
yeah.
Tell me about the show. Now, the title of the show is...
Paradise or the Impermanence of Ice Cream.
Such a good title.
It's a great title. Give me a high level. What is this work?
Well, I suppose it stemmed from a trip. Justin, my partner in crime with the Indian Ink Theatre Company, we went to Mumbai before it all burnt down in 2018. 2019, actually. Yeah, at the top of 2019. Researching a different project, and we came across this interesting little death practice by an ethnic community there called the Parsis, and they feed their dead to the vultures in these towers. They call the Towers of Silence, and we thought, that's fascinating.
But
then it got stranger.
That's already quite a high bar for strange, I have to say.
So it turns out that around the 1990s, someone discovered that the bodies weren't being eaten, and the vultures weren't around. And then a little bit more digging found that the vultures had disappeared everywhere. And this is really unusual in India, because we have a very kind of symbiotic relationship with vultures, because we are the second biggest dairy producer in the world, and yet we don't eat the meat.
Yes.
So when the cows die, they just leave them out for the vultures. So there were millions of them everywhere. And within 10 years, they'd had a 99% decline in their population.
Wow.
So, and nobody knew why. So this was the big mystery of India's vanishing vultures, which I talked to people from the Parsi community, I talked to fellow Indians, and they don't know what happened.
Far out.
But when we did our digging, we found out that, you know, scientists and everything had discovered what caused it, and that's what we're going to tell you in the play.
I'm so hooked.
I am gripping. My sphincter is so far up my body right now. I am leaning in. For those listeners, if you want to, like, the air in the studio. Jacob, that's... I have so many questions. Mm. Obviously, when you're just obviously a detective for these extraordinary situations that you end up making into theatre shows. But when you were coming across this, where did that kernel then for turning that into something? I mean, it's already quite theatrical already.
Well, it is and it isn't, because you've got one element there. You know, this great mystery that's embedded in the work, but we didn't want to do a sort of David Attenborough bio environmental crisis kind
of thing. Macro shots of leaves and stuff. Yeah,
you got to bury that.
Yeah. So there has to be a relationship drama within there. So we have one, and then even a bigger thing to do with this other during this research is what happens when you start finding something that becomes a sort of a lightning rod for all the other themes that are floating around in the ether. And this idea of impermanence, you know, especially through what we were living through in COVID and all of the normals being raised to the ground. So we came across this fantastic book called The Denial of Death by Ernst Becker. And don't get it. It's a textbook and it's really hard. I got Justin to read it and he told me what it was. He summarized it for
me. That's what
you're reading. Teamwork. Yeah.
But the essential thesis of it is that everything to do with human beings and their culture and their religion and everything is based on our avoidance of death. Because as a species, the scientists reckon we're the only ones that know that we're going to die. And that's actually a mind-blowing concept.
What?
Because any other animal lives, you know, they avoid pain, but the idea of death is uniquely something that we are aware of. And everything we do in terms of finance, in terms of religion, in terms of culture, is some sort of buffer against this idea of dying. And so that when you combine that with vultures who were, you know, for me, harbingers of death, an ugly kind of bird. But actually, when you dig down into vultures themselves, they are amazingly beautiful creatures that never kill. They take death and they turn into life. And so that's what the Parsis have cottoned onto. You know, they're an incredibly environmentally good bird. Their stomach acid is so strong, it eliminates rabies, it eliminates anthrax, it eliminates tuberculosis. They would clean that naturally from the environment, but when they're not there, suddenly it becomes a different kind of
gig.
Far out. So now you've got two big things that now we can start to put a show together. And the other one was our sort of tendency towards comedy.
Yeah.
So this idea of the serious laugh, where we open the audience's mouths to the laughter in order to slip something serious in.
I was going to say, that's what I feel like I've come to expect from Indian Ink, is like a theatre production company, is you get these quite existential questions about the world going on, but you are also going to fully belly laugh at the same time.
That's
kind of catches you unawares.
Yeah. And so we have a ready-made off-the-rack character called Kurasa, who's from a previous play. And he, in that previous play, the Guru of Chai, was a spiritual guide. Mm. He came to take away the problems of the audience and didn't, because he was an idiot. And so we started thinking about him and saying, well, what's he doing now? And we said, he's working at Harvey Norman. He's having a life crisis. And this is where we start with this guy who wakes up in a room and doesn't know where he is. So he's a storyteller not in command of the story. And the story flips him back 30 years to when he's in Mumbai and chances into a Parsi woman. And then we're on our way. We fold in the vultures. We fold in the denial of death.
Just a few light topics.
Gorgeous. Is this typical for you to go back to characters and re-explore? That's quite a unique kind of position to be in, right? Because characters live within a world of another kind of script, another play. Is that typical that you've taken him? And what was it about taking him that felt right, as opposed to finding something, a new protagonist?
Well, it is a unique thing with us, because we've been around for 22 years.
I was gonna make a dumb joke. No, I won't. You keep going.
So, and recently we had Mrs. Krishnan's party, which was exactly that. We were thinking about creating a vehicle for Kalyani Nagarajan's fantastic woman who came out of drama school with her own kind of solo show to do with her mum. But working with her, the subject material was just too close to her, so we wanted a different older woman. And then we thought about Zena Krishnan from Krishnan's Dairy and said, well, whatever happened to her?
Yeah.
And then you do some imaginative research about where she is 20 years on from the dairy, and thinking about selling the dairy, going back to India, and all the permutations of that, and then came up with Mrs. Krishnan's party. And then we thought, this is cool. Here we have characters which we love, who we know really well. Why do we have to start from scratch?
Totally.
And so Kurasa popped up as another contender of, there's a guy we really like, and what happened to him? It's kind of weird in that you do think of them as real people.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, as a writer, it's such a gift because I totally know so much about this person already.
Absolutely. And I guess that's the thing in terms of like legacy storytelling that's happening now with the way in which we consume narratives over. I mean, like, we watch a 9-hour narrative now. We don't watch something that's like short, episodic, even that's if it's true, an episode.
Yeah. And we so binge it. Yeah,
totally. And so we actually are becoming acclimatized to these ongoing, like legacy sort of a narrative. So in some ways, perhaps there's a sort of subconsciously some kind of way in which there's an alignment. I'm not suggesting this is conscious at all, where we want to come back to characters. We want to see where they're at, where they, what's happening now, like where are their lives?
Yeah. I must say that you don't need to have seen Guru of Chai
to see
this. It's not like that. And neither for Christians. The forms are very different in terms of the storytelling. We are talking now. We're musing about bringing Christian's Diary back to back with Mrs. Christian's Party so that you can see the origin story.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I've only seen Christian's Diary on a VHS in the Nola Miller Library. Oh. And I think it's like from like the 1990 back. It was like there's like a double. It's like you and then Linda Chung Wai Earl's cast you both. Like,
that's a good VHS. That's a great one.
That I've never seen it in the flesh. So if you could do that for me,
I'll
would
do that
be,
right now.
Yeah, okay, great. So, you got your gear?
If we want to go and see this play, when, where, how, why, what's the deets?
Q Theatre, we open tomorrow.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
And you're here? Get back to the theatre.
We just came fresh off a season in Wellington. We sold out and it was great. And it was a theatre about this half the size of Cube, so I'm just going to make it bigger. And we run for about 3 weeks, but it's selling pretty well.
Okay, so get your tickets. Jacob, thank you so much for coming in. Alice, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio.
No, the pleasure is mine. Look, pleasure all round.
My best wishes to your unfurling Monstera. We'll see you next week.
Ciao.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.